You're listening to DraftKings Network.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart, the seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with The Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
Welcome to Oddball. I'm Charlotte Wilder, here with Amin El-Hassan. We're in New York, and Amin, I think you time-traveled or just took a really early flight because you were in Boston last night, and now you're here.
That's right, Charlotte. I got to witness the Miami Heat order the code red.
Jesus, what do you mean by that?
Well, let's just say Caleb Martin said, you want me on that wall. You need me on that wall.
That's a few good men, folks.
Yes, it is. And that's a movie you have seen.
Well, what?
Oh, my God. Well,
I can't remember. There's no way of knowing.
I'll tell you a movie that you have seen.
What?
The Miami Heat beating the Boston Celtics in the playoffs. Whoa, that movie.
Why are you doing that?
Oh, man.
That's a horror movie.
Yeah.
That movie gives me nightmares. That movie gave me nightmares last night. I mean, because also we knew that this could happen.
Yeah, pretty much. It's funny. I was having a conversation before the game, Charlotte, and just the idea of like how does a team win a series? Mm-hmm. And I said, I've always thought about the playoffs kind of like the draft lottery.
Okay.
Draft lottery, every team gets 1,000 combinations, right? Or excuse me, there are 1,000 combinations, and every team gets a certain amount of combinations out of those.
Yep.
That if these number combos hit, then you win the lottery, right? So the team with the best chances have like 140 different number of combinations of the 1,000.
Right.
I think about it the same way in the playoffs. Two teams playing. There's 1,000 different ways this can go, right? The favorite will have like, depending on how big of a favorite, they might have 750, 800, maybe 900 of those combinations.
Mm-hmm.
The underdog only has 100.
Okay.
So what are the 100 scenarios where you end up winning the series? The difference in the lottery and the playoffs is in the lottery, it is truly chance. It's a coin flip in essence.
Yeah.
In the playoffs, the teams have agency that they can control or influence how these certain combinations come up and other ones don't. What the Miami Heat did last night was they hit all the numbers that they needed to hit and they made it happen. And they made it happen by controlling pace.
Mm-hmm.
They made it happen by the defensive excellence and brilliance of Bam Adebayo. And they made it happen by hitting a lot of threes, yes, but not crazy threes, not contested threes, not, oh my God, someone's on fire hitting threes. It was just good basketball.
Well, also, the Celtics were letting them hit threes. The Celtics were daring them to hit threes, and then the Heat were. And at no point were the Celtics like, maybe we should stop daring them to hit threes. Maybe we should guard Caleb Martin. Maybe we shouldn't leave him in the corner and say, you know what, buddy? Like, go for it.
It's funny. Isn't it funny that, like, I watched that game and Caleb Martin got booed every single time his name was mentioned, Charlotte. Mm-hmm. Forget about every time he touched the ball. He checks in the game. Now checking in the game, Caleb Martin. Boo! There was one point where he fouled somebody. And it fouled number 16, Caleb Martin. And usually arenas get really angry like when they hate someone. Like, oh, yeah. They start cheering when he gets called a foul. Nope, they booed Caleb Martin getting a foul call.
I mean, look, that's a sign of life from Celtics fans, because we saw in the fourth quarter, the building went silent.
Yeah, well.
The Celtics are down like 9,
yeah,
8. You know, they're 41 seconds left. Like, obviously, what?
You know, the most you've been talking about this all morning with me. And I was like, was it that? Because it was really loud at moments.
Yeah.
You know, then I remembered, I remember the most pitiful part.
What?
Jason Tatum went to the free throw line in the fourth quarter, and like 3 people were chanting MVP. Dude, I'm not lying. It was like, you could hear like just...
like a sad echo like of MVP.
MVP, okay. MVP. Like, you go to a Knicks game, Jalen Brunson goes to the free throw line, and the building is shaking. And this is a guy who is not going to win MVP, right?
So here's a few things, I mean, about the Celtics. Mm-hmm. That in 2018, they went to the Eastern Conference Finals against the Cavs.
Yes,
and I wrote an article for Sports Illustrated. Sort of got roasted online. Yeah, all right, Jesus. Sort of got roasted a little bit, but I said America would love these Celtics if they weren't from Boston, because everybody hates Boston teams, but the Celtics at that point were so lovable.
They were lovable, yes.
They were so lovable. They played with so much joy. They played with the kind of joy that we see Tyrese Maxey play with.
Was that Isaiah Thomas and...
it was Tatum
as a rookie, Brown as a second year player.
Yeah, I think it was the Gordon Hayward experiment, which was like sort of funny in and of itself. Even, you know, poor guy, he got hurt a lot, made a lot of money. But to me, what we are seeing now is like there's a little bit of brokenness, even in the regular season. You know how I've been saying, like, as a Celtics fan, it's felt weird because it feels like just sort of waiting for disaster instead of celebrating excellence. And I feel like last night was a part of that disaster that people have been waiting for. And also, like, it's one game. The Celtics haven't lost the series. They could get their act together, but there was a sense of defeatedness and just, like, misery in watching this team. And Mazzulla, where it's like he's subbing the game as if it's a regular season game. He's like, well, down in the end of the third quarter, let's put Sam Hauser and Peyton Pritchard in. And also, Sam Hauser was the only one who was, like, actually hitting three, so it's also very confusing. But I just think, Amin, that there is this sense of the vibes are bad and the fans are not bringing the energy in the way that they could help reverse those vibes.
So there's a couple of things, a couple of directions I want to go with this.
Okay.
Number one, you know who called all of this prior to game 2?
Who?
My bartender, Joe, in Boston. Shout out to Joe, the bartender in Boston.
Can you tell me what bar he's at?
You know what? I will.
Yeah.
It's the W.
Oh, see, because in my head I had it. It's like, you know, the Sevens
the
on
Tam
Beacon
or
Hill.
Whatever.
Yeah. Oh, amazing bar,
by
the way.
Oh, yeah. No, but no. So Joe, you know, I see him a lot there. And he's always, he is like, remember we tried to do a man on the street in Boston and you couldn't get enough, like, angster.
Yeah, let's break the fourth wall here. We shot something in Boston where I asked people what their greatest fear about the Celtics was, and everyone was like, I have none.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, but we are screwed.
There was an air of, like,
arrogance,
but, like, dismissive arrogance. Not just kind of like, oh, we're going to kill them. Kind of like, oh, well, worries. That's for the poors. Oh. Right? I'm going back to Harvard.
Those are for people who don't have wins.
There you go. That's exactly what it came across. Joe was who we were looking for. Because Joe on Tuesday night is telling me all of the stuff like, dude, I'm worried. What happens when they can't hit these shots? I don't trust this rotation. It's not deep enough. Mm-hmm. Spoelstra's too good of a coach. Mm-hmm. You know he's going to make adjustments. Is our guy going to make adjustments? Like, he read me the whole thing. And then, sure enough, Wednesday, it played out exactly how he called it.
Can we get Joe on the show?
I think we can. We probably, next time, I'll be there for game 5. I'll ask Joe if he wants to come on the show.
Great.
But you know who else called at least part of what you just said about
who?
The fans and the entitlement?
Oh.
Donnie Wahlberg,
my man Donnie. Let's see what he had to say.
Yeah.
don't know if it's all those years of the Patriots. Just we assume we're going to win now, but we as fans cannot get complacent. We got to keep our mind right and stay focused and locked in the way we want the team to. Can't expect them to lock in if we don't lock in.
Okay, I mean, I never thought I would say this. Mm-hmm. I completely agree with Donnie Wahlberg.
See, there you go.
Also, can I tell you a real quick story?
Yeah.
Dottie, who was a woman who worked in the cafeteria at the Boston Globe when I worked there, okay. She's one of my favorite people in this world. I hope she's doing all right. That building was demolished, I think, or it's just not.
I hope she left before they did that.
Yeah, same. She would make fun of me when I would get a salad, and she once said, you know, Mark Wahlberg's in the building today. And I was like, oh, cool, Dottie. Yeah. And she goes, my sister went to prom with Donnie.
Oh,
so
wow.
I have a real soft spot for Donnie Wahlberg. Wow. So I'm glad that we agree. On
yeah,
the fan
and it was cool to see him put out like a step-by-step blueprint of how the fans should react. A step-by-step blueprint.
What reference is that I'm not getting?
Am I the only one here? No. Nobody. And do you know?
Is that a song?
Donnie Wahlberg was in New Kids on the Block.
Wait, what?
You guys know that, right?
Wait, what?
Do you guys not know that Donnie Wahlberg was in New Kids on the Block?
I think somewhere in my head I did, but I had forgotten it, or I didn't know. Wait.
And New Kids on the Block was a musical?
Okay, I know.
But a producer, Ann, is like looking at me like, I'm a child, I don't know these things. New Kids on the Block was a musical group of the late 80s, a boy band that was built basically to be a white version of New Edition.
Okay, great. Yeah. Donnie, shout out Donnie.
Yeah, and all the other ones.
We got to move on. This is too depressing.
So, really quick,
yeah.
Before we move on, one last thing. You remember last year when the Celtics went down 3-0?
Yeah, I'm still completely broken because of it.
Well, Jaylen Brown at the time infamously had the quote, like, don't let us win one.
Don't let us get one.
Right? Don't let us get one. And then they got one and they got two. And I think we have a game seven and like they end up losing. But like, oh, that was a pretty like prescient thing to say. Mm-hmm. Well, after the game last night, Jimmy Butler took to Instagram. And
there it is.
Yeah.
Okay. So it's a Photoshop of Jaylen Brown with Jimmy Butler's head on it. Don't let us get one attributed to Jaylen Brown. You know, the one thing I will say to Jimmy, first of all.
Well, how would you describe Jimmy's face to the audio listeners?
Oh, diabolical.
Yeah. I would say shit eating grin.
There you go.
Yeah.
Okay. Same two sides of the same coin.
Yes.
I would also say, though, the Celtics didn't win that series.
No.
So Jimmy's sort of saying we might take it to seven, but we're going to lose.
Yeah, sure. Maybe. Or maybe like they let them get one a lot sooner than the Heat let the Celtics one last year. So we'll see. I mean, look, there's going to be a game five in Boston. I will be there.
Okay.
And I will be coming back to report my findings.
I sort of like your findings from Boston almost better than like my being there. Cause I go there, like I just saw Donnie there and I got this like pang of like, oh, I'm home. I love it. Like, oh, these people.
Get her a Dunkin' Donuts napkin ASAP.
Seriously. And a sponsorship. But you know, I like hearing your more neutral take on things from Boston.
You know, that's my job.
Yeah.
What I do. Okay. All right. There's another series that's going to start tonight, or it's not going to start tonight. Excuse me. Going to continue tonight. It's Knicks and Sixers. But the big story, Charlotte, as the Knicks try to go up 3-0 in the series, and this is something
which is insane to say.
I mean, look, this is happening. Yes. The Knicks are one of the best teams in the NBA now, right? I talked to a lot of people last night. That's what I like to do when I'm walking around. I see players and coaches and other media people.
You're the mayor of any arena you're in.
But I like to ask them about stuff that has nothing to do with what we're dealing with here. And so the question I asked everybody was, you know, how crazy is it watching Embiid after game two look distraught in a way that you don't typically see that early in a series? And I think we have the sound and the video here so we can
roll it.
We should be 2-0, so yeah, we're good. We're going to win this series.
So again, this is one of those things where print doesn't do audio justice. Mm-hmm. Audio doesn't do video justice, right? Yep. The print is what he just said right there, right? And you read it in print, like, okay, cool. That's what guys say when they're down 2-0.
Right.
The audio, you hear the voice, like, it sounds a lot sadder and less defiant than the words are.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, whatever. Maybe he's just tired. The video is him not making eye contact. His head is down, and he's scratching his hair, and he's like, oh, we should be up there. Like, it definitely gave the vibe of defeated.
100%. And, I mean, to me, what this feels very personal to Embiid. It feels like he knows how hurt he is. We see him
hurting out there. Mm-hmm. Like, he's playing, which testament to him, he's still making a huge, he's still the difference maker on that team. But it looks like it's hurting him a lot. And I think
you're talking about physically or emotionally?
Both.
Okay.
Physically, he like also when he would get to the free throw line, he would do like his, did he get hit in the eye recently?
Yeah,
like,
well, he didn't get hit in the eye. He got, when he got fouled, he fell down and one eye started blinking rapidly while the other one stayed still.
So there's a lot going on physically where I feel like that was the look of someone who sort of knows what direction this is going in. And like, this guy is a generational player. He's been hurt so much. Another year where he's looking down the barrel of like, cool, just not going to make it.
I want to also point out quickly that the Sixers filed a grievance after game two. Daryl Morey leads the league. He's the best in front offices at filing grievances and putting in like all the paperwork. So they asked Tibbs about it after the last 2 minute report came out. This is what Tibbs had to say.
I'm more concerned with the 46-minute report. I knew they couldn't call a foul there. I'm watching the way Jalen's being guarded. I watched the whole game, not 2 minutes worth. I'm locked into game three. That's where we are.
This man is quickly becoming my favorite soundbite machine.
The 46-minute report is fantastic.
Fantastic. I mean, look, I think that if the fact that the Knicks are doing this and Jalen Brunson is not playing the way Jalen Brunson usually plays, I feel like he's due for a big game. I also feel like the Lakers are due for getting their act together.
Really?
Yeah.
Really? Okay. Yeah, I'd like to hear this.
Can we roll LeBron here, please?
D'Lo clearly gets hit in the face on a drive. What the fuck do we have a replay center if it's going to go? It doesn't make sense to me. It makes no sense to me.
And now, if our dear producers would also roll the AD storming out video.
Oh.
I don't know if you were screened or what happened on that last play.
Jamal Murray made a shot.
I'm going to say this. To have that happen, that has to be the worst feeling in basketball, like other than getting hurt, right?
Yeah, that last minute buzzer beater that Jamal Murray made over Anthony Davis.
In your face, and then you fall backwards into their bench as they're celebrating.
Mobbing Jamal Murray. This is that, those two, that was another interesting thing to me in the same vein of the Embiid video, where they're sort of showing their cards a little too much. Like, you act like you've been there because you've been there.
You know what? The energy that I got off of LeBron and AD.
What?
Of a show I've never watched, but I'm very familiar with the quote, right? It's Aaron Paul in Breaking Bad. You can't keep getting away with this. I feel like they feel like that about the Nuggets. They can't keep getting away with this.
100%.
Like just this feeling of like, it's unfair. And it's clearly unfair, but nobody seems to care.
Nobody cares. It's the same as Michael Malone being like, they're all talking about the Lakers. Now the Lakers are like, they're all winning. They're beating them. Well, do you think the Lakers, did the Lakers don't let them get one? What's going on?
Oh, man, let me ask you a question. What if the Nuggets repeat? What do you think Michael Malone's speech is going to be?
Oh, man. Didn't he say, like, I'm LeBron's daddy last
year? Yeah, no,
he's going to say, I'm LeBron's dad, I'm LeBron's mom, I'm LeBron's wife, I'm LeBron's kids.
I just love the idea that, like, there was a point where the Nuggets were like, why do you guys keep talking about the Lakers even after we beat them? So I'm interested to see after the series is over when the Nuggets eventually kill the Lakers. Will there still be a lot of conjecture of what the Lakers could have done and all that stuff like it was last year?
I'll save you some time. Yes. coming up, bet the show.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
Are you tired of snooty wines and their old world wine culture?
Confused by words like malolactic fermentation? Yeah, we are too. So with 19 Crimes, you can do the fancy schmancy tilt, sip, smell. Ooh, I think it tastes like old red cherry, a little bit of wood and mahogany, a little leather. You can do all that stuff or don't. 19 Crimes is the rebel of wine culture telling stories of rogues and rule breakers who overcame adversities, from convicts banished to Australia to the legendary icon Snoop Dogg himself. 19 Crimes wine is defiant by nature, bold in character, and always uncompromising. 19 Crimes, the official wine of the UFC, pick up in stores nationwide or online at 19crimes.com. Enjoy responsibly. Copyright 2024, Sonoma, California.
Welcome back to Oddball.
What? Look at us. We're like a real podcast with like a desk and headsets and microphones in our faces.
And we sound pretty good.
Yes, this is my NPR voice.
Today,
yes,
on Oddball, we have Bet the Show. Bet the Show is sponsored by DraftKings. But seriously, stay tuned because you'll hear more about DraftKings and all it has to offer throughout the show. DraftKings, the crown is yours.
Hell yeah.
Amin. We are going to start out today. The first bet, the first team to score 10 points in LA versus Denver. LA is
minus.
This
is a real bet?
This is a real bet.
You could bet that on DraftKings.
Yeah, the first team to score 10 points in tonight's game, Lakers Nuggets, is that the line right now is Lakers minus 130.
Right.
So is LA going to come out hot in front of the home crowd? Are they going to take that Anthony Davis mic drop energy and bring it to the game?
I'm going to say no. Right. I'm going to say no because the hot start Laker game happened already. That was game two.
Yep.
And they came out to a great start.
Yeah.
And then it all fell apart.
They're favorites to do that.
Yeah.
I don't believe it.
Well, look, there's two ways to look at betting lines, right? Mm-hmm. One is what's going to happen. Mm-hmm. And two is what is everybody betting on? So like, let's try and like even the money out.
Right,
so
right, right.
I imagine it's one of those of the latter there, but I see the Nuggets. I see Mike Malone basically saying, okay, guys, we gave them the one game where we gave them hope. Let's not give them any more hope. Because if they come out again and play close, then it's like, even if we win game three, they still got this stupid. They want to put the doubt of all doubts in their mind of,
yes,
you can't do this. You can't win, in the words of Adrian from Rocky.
I also think that the Nuggets have not been playing at their full ability. And so I feel like coming out and being real smothering right off the bat would be something that could maybe keep them going a little bit more throughout the game than letting the Lakers get a, what was it, 15, 19, 20-point lead?
It was a 20-point lead.
It's a big lead.
That was a big lead. Can they do it again? You can bet on it. Only on DraftKings. All right, here we go. This one's for you, Charlotte.
Okay.
We have Jalen Brunson over 2.5 made threes, and that's plus 124 there. Now, for you shoot from the hip here. Let me just tell you, he's 2-for-12 from deep in the playoffs thus far. That's only about 16.7%.
Mm-hmm.
So is he struggling or is he due?
Both, but I think I'm going to go more on the side of due because I think that Brunson has showed, you know, it's interesting because this is the playoffs when the Knicks are good is not a situation that anybody is used to. So I can see where the pressure of being at home, being like, oh my God, I have to do what I've done all season, but do it in the playoffs, do it when this matters more than anything. I could see being on the road now a little bit of a release of like, cool, everybody here hates us. Like, I'm going to go show out. And although it's probably going to be half Knicks fans because it's
Philly. In Philly. So. Philly's a tough crowd. But the proximity.
But like, they're going to travel.
Yeah, no, the
it's
proximity makes it.
Yeah. I do think, though, that I think Jalen's going to break his streak of bad shooting.
Bad shooting. Yeah. Well, he doesn't have to be good shooting. He's just got to hit three threes. He could be 3-for-13.
Right, exactly.
And still, like,
I think he's going to do that. I think he's going to do that.
Yeah, there you go.
Okay, the next bet here is that Lakers and Nuggets, you can bet on whether it's going to be four games. And that is right now plus 240. Five games is plus 190. Six games is plus 370.
Oh, basically, are the Lakers going to win 0, 1, or 2 games?
Are the Nuggets going to sweep?
Are the Nuggets going to sweep, gentlemen sweep, or actually have a series? Oof. Oh, man. Sweep feels good, but it's also there's no room for error there. That's why five games is the one with the worst odds. I'm going to go five. I think the Lakers are going to get one eventually because they do play them close. They do play them tough. So at some point, like just sheer dumb luck, they're going to fall into a win.
I feel like LeBron should have gone to the Timberwolves or the Thunder, should have seen that potential and been like, you know what? I'm going to go and try to.
Not too late.
Too late?
Not Ronnie? Too late. Not too late.
Ronnie, do you like Oklahoma City? Would you like to play with your dad?
Well, and that's, I mean, that's what you, it goes, OKC or Philly, you guys, yeah, want to take a little swing. OKC, you have 8 million draft picks.
We can make it happen.
You know, you guys got Gordon Hayward. Imagine like someone who can actually play. Like,
I do think though that I feel like they're going to sweep.
You're really doing the plus 240.
I think LeBron can only do so much in this situation, and I just have a gut feeling. I also feel like I have a gut feeling that I might be wrong.
Yeah.
So those are canceling each other out. So you're going five games.
I'm going five games. Okay. I think Pouty AD is going to get at least one.
Pouty AD.
I mean, this is a problem. He hit a shot in the game.
He hit a shot. Well, maybe you should, Anthony.
Yeah,
you should hit a shot to win a game.
Try hitting a shot.
Period.
In the second
half. 3 points in the second half.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you're mad about that? Okay. Anyway, yeah. What's the next bet, I mean?
All right. We've got, you'll love this one. Heat +9 versus Boston in Miami on Saturday. So for those that aren't well-versed in gambling, this means that the line is saying that whatever the Heat score, add 9 points to it, and it still won't. Outdo the Celtics.
Why are we this? Okay, this to me is like the kind of thing that the Heat that guarantees a Heat win. This is the kind of thing the Heat say. Oh, you think that we're +9? You think it's that unlikely that we're going to win? We're going to print that out and then we're going to find some other movie quote that has to like rounders. When you're up, you're up. When you're down, you never think you'll be up. Whatever the heck.
The odds are +320 for them to win straight up. Like just forget about the spread. Just Heat win +320.
God, I hate this. Can you take this one?
No, this is teed up for you on purpose. Do the reverse psychology. Everyone knows the reverse psychology move. You say, yeah, I'll take that. The Heat, of course, +9. They're gonna cover, and then the Celtics come out and win by 20.
Okay,
and then
you're definitely gonna cover because they're gonna put up a real big fight. And Boston's gonna have to come out swinging, and who knows if they can, boys? Yeah. Like, let's see if you have it.
Yeah, there you go. And then when they do, Charlotte gets to say, I inspired them. They clipped it, and you know that's what they played in their locker room.
Heat were
playing a few good men. Joe Mazzulla
said, had Charlotte Wilder saying, yeah, the Heat are going to win. How do you feel about that, Joe?
Yeah, yeah.
Whose car are we taking, Joe?
Do you have your Knick hat? Your Knick hat because you're a big Knick fan with your Knick towel?
No, I'm not.
No?
No.
Okay. We're just going to brush over that. I missed one day of work, and all of a sudden, Charlotte's walking around with Knick paraphernalia, roaming the streets of New York.
It was for a bit. It was so Knicks fans would talk to me. You know what? That's all the time we have. But we're going to end on some words of wisdom from the great Don Draper for the Lakers and Sixers tonight. Success comes from standing out, not fitting in.
That's funny. I thought.
And if you're the Knicks, I don't think about you at all.
Yeah, there you go. That's what I got. It was Michael Malone from that. I don't think about them at all.
That's his next T-shirt.
Yeah.